Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Joe Shimoda, the first ever overall race winner of a super motocross event. The first ever SMX 450 race, it goes to Chase Sexton.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Title 24, presented by NBC Sports. I'm Ricky Carmichael, my co-host, Ryan Villapoto, alongside of me. Before we get going, like always, we got to thank our fantastic sponsors, United Motorsports, Quad Lock Case, and Boxo. Great partners. Make sure you guys check them out. And man, a lot to talk about today. I'm excited for this show because certainly was a plot twist with some results. Wasn't what I was expecting. I definitely think that I have to rethink what this playoff is, how the playoffs are going to work out. But nevertheless, it was fun. RV, you were there this weekend doing RDL. You crushed it.
Well, thank you.
Dude, how was it? Did you enjoy yourself?
Yeah, it was really good. It was awesome to be, you know, there at Charlotte for that inaugural round. I think it had a really good, You know, atmosphere. The stadium was filled up. I thought the track raced really well. Just the whole event itself was really good. And then, yeah, I jumped on RDL for these last three rounds, right? So we did Charlotte, so Chicago coming up this weekend, and then LA. So that was good. Enjoyed it.
That's good. Overall, what did you think of the track, the event? Like, do you think it was a success?
I do. I do think it was a major success. And, you know, Like I had only ever heard of, I've really never spent any time in Charlotte for that matter, nor at the drag strip or the NASCAR track. Right. So pulling in the rental car, we got to drive right in and then, yeah, you're at the 4-lane wide drag strip there, and then You built this track. So really cool to see how it all came together. It was really awesome, right? Motorhome camping all out on the outside. So as from the fans' perspective, we had camping this weekend there at Charlotte, and we also have it at Chicago. And, you know, I think that adds a really cool element to Supercross that we've never had.
Yeah,
you know, and then we go to the event itself, right? And the event itself was when it seemed like it went off without a hitch, and we had some hell of a good racing.
Oh, dude, it was so good. Like, I like the format. So, like, the format too. And I think I you and I were talking about it. I like the two moto format, the shorter motos, which is 20 plus one, both the same for the 250 and the 450. I thought it was a success as far as that goes. By the way, we got super lucky with the weather. So the weather god. Yeah, they were we must be living right, because it was supposed to pour. There was storms all around us, and you know, so I was pumped on that. And to your point, massive shout out to the fans, dude. When I was driving in on Friday and then even Saturday, just the vibe was so unreal and epic. People were loving it. People were camped out, and it just had like that weekend vibe. It wasn't just a Saturday Supercross race. It was, they made like an event out of it, a whole weekend. So I loved the feel of it from a fan's perspective. So massive thanks to our great fans. But nevertheless, it was, I think for the inaugural playoff, SMX playoff, it went well. Great job to MX Sports and Feld Motorsports. They did a fabulous job. I think we crack into it, dude.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's start with the 450, and I'm kind of speechless right now, because that was something I wasn't expecting from Jet Lawrence.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think coming off of, literally this whole season, outdoor season, we've been talking about, you know, Jet's performances and going 22-0, and you know, we're looking at the split start coming off the line. And, you know, honestly, I think I mentioned this to you at dinner on Saturday night, like What was it that you know, the pressure of keeping, number one, the biggest, you know, is winning the outdoor championship and then keeping that streak alive and keeping that going? You know, for the guys that are watching on YouTube right now, we're getting to watch this first moto out here. We got Kenny going by, and then we have Jason Anderson, you know. So, but my question was, is does the pressure of that series, why we kind of saw maybe an off Jet Lawrence here at Charlotte, you know, kind of the, just the deflation of the, all that air and all that buildup that's happened over 11 rounds of outdoors. And then not to mention hitting home runs every single weekend he showed up, and now it's over, it deflated. And then he had to come back and put it, not to say he's not going to come back for this next weekend, but it was uncharacteristic of Jet this weekend and what we saw.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I don't have a rhyme or reason. I mean, he talked about it a little bit after the second moto, you know, about the suspension, and maybe they were a little stiff on the suspension side of things, which I want to get on into the suspension side of things and what I think the riders and teams should consider. But definitely I wasn't expecting that. I certainly wasn't, but dude, mad props to the other guys. I mean, we talked about it at dinner on Saturday. Dude, Sexton was on another level. That was an absolute epic ride.
He totally was. And you know, for the ones that have listened to the show from start to where we're at right now, like myself and Ricky, we've been pretty hard on Chase, and now's the time to be putting all the limelight on Chase right now. I mean, he was able to go out there and win both motos and dominantly, right? Like nobody could even sniff him out there. So, I mean, it was Jet doing what Jet did in outdoors, but switching numbers and switching the rider, right? And it's the same motorcycle, right? So it was interesting to see Chase was able to come out and just blow the doors off it like that. That was really cool to see.
Yeah, it was. And you know what? You mentioned it about we've been pretty critical of him. I mean, most people have.
I think it 100%, was. Rightfully so.
Rightfully so. He was the one that was making the mistakes, not us. And we have to point that out to our viewers and listeners. But nevertheless, we have a soundbite of Chase and on the podium talking about that.
Yeah, definitely. I was in the zone today. I know what I'm capable of when I'm comfortable, and I've been comfortable since I got back on Supercross. So had to prove my point today. Gotten a lot of hate in the last couple months, but I know what I'm capable of, and this is where we should be. So,
yeah, I don't think it. And dude, it's not hate. I have no reason to hate the guy. It's just more being critical and critiquing and breaking down where the mistakes are happening. And that's what our job is to do and talk about it. And yeah, so it definitely wasn't hate, but it was, we were being critical and it wasn't just us.
No, 100%. I think we were critical. And I think that's because we know the potential that Chase has in him. Yeah. There's only an odd few that out there that we can hold to that standard.
Yeah. I mean, he just, and, but it was cool to see. So this is where I love to praise him is how he had those issues in the Pro Motocross Championship, but then he never gave up. He kept going and going and going. And dude, you've been in certain situations where you've had your back against the wall and things weren't great. And we're watching, you know, for the people just listening, we're watching him right now, just sailing away in the lead, coming up to the checkers and Moto One. It was just a complete dominant performance. He never looked like he was on the edge, never looked like he was about to crash. I mean, there was a couple moments, but, and then here again, watching Moto Two on the pass that he made on Kenny. You know, he was sitting there, didn't force it. And then there's that right-handed off camber just before the sand section. Kenny goes to the outside, boom. Chase goes right to the inside and is able to make a quick pass. So, you know, I think that, you know, we knew that he was capable of this stuff. And he put on a freaking clinic. And he's my favorite. He's my favorite going into Chicago. And he earned it. So I'm excited to see what happens going into Chicago, actually, and how some of these riders are going to respond.
I agree. And the crazy part about going into Chicago, now we have double points going into Chicago. So as the series goes on, as in normal series, when it's just normal points every single week and are normal, the way we normally score ourselves, is pressure builds. Now it really, really builds, because now this next, this Chicagoland is going to be 50 points for overall points going towards the towards the SMX finals, right? So the championship. So, and then it goes 75. So it's going to get pressure cooker, and then it's going to really get into the pressure cooking situation towards LA, right? Because it's 75 points on the line.
Yeah. So going into the playoffs, like, my strategy, I'm like, okay, well, what, like, the keys of the race, or like, what do you need to do this? How do you need to approach? I mean, we all know that everyone has to be consistent. I mean, you got to show up, especially in the double points, triple rounds. But I'm like, I was thinking, like, man, it'd be good to, you want to start the playoffs with a bang, you know, go 1-1. That would be really, really good. Right. Start off on the right foot. But then I got to thinking, I'm like, you know what? Actually, yes, it would be good to start up, you know, start the playoffs on a good foot. But if you're going to, you know, if you're going to have a mulligan, it's going to, you want it on that first round, because it's only single point. So it kind of made me rethink my strategy. So there's pressure for a guy like Jet and the guys that didn't do well to come into this next round. It's more opportunity. I think the pressure switches more. There's more pressure on a guy like Sexton, because now, you know, you can't recover from these mistakes. And he was so good at the first playoff race. I think, like, my strategy has changed because of what, you know, like, if you're going to throw one away, this past,
you want it to be that first, you want it to be round one, 100%.
Yeah, when I wasn't even thinking that until after the race started playing out, I'm like, dude, actually, if you're going to have a bad weekend, this is the weekend to have it.
This is, yeah, exactly.
We got some fan questions, and this guy, well, NJP, we appreciate you, NJP. So you've been a loyal watcher, viewer, listener, however you're watching the podcast, we appreciate you. He has a good question about Ken Roczen. He asks, is Roczen's early race pace always at the sacrifice of the end of the race? What do you think about that?
Well, JP, I would just have to go on. I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's, I know Kenny's fit, but I don't know if he's, as the laps run down, we have two motos now, they're a little bit shorter. I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's a little bit of a fitness thing. Mm-hmm. And especially that he hasn't been behind the gate as much as he probably should have or wanted to be. You know, he only popped in for High Point, right? So he hasn't been behind the gate very much. And we all know there is no replicating a race, your heart rate in a race, your mental fitness in a race, and everything else that comes along with being at a race at that level. So I would say I'm hoping to see Chicago a little bit better, and then also LA as he gets behind the gate. And we have three weekends in a row to race.
Yeah, I think I support what you just said 100%. I couldn't have said it any better. You're right. He seemed like he was laboring a little bit there. The second moto, sitting down, you can just kind of see how his style. So there's probably, you know, that tempo that he's riding early on like that. Certainly you're going to feel the burn a little bit later on in the moto. And the thing about it is we've talked about it, these shorter races, guys like Sexton and Jet, they aren't going to get tired. So if you can't maintain that gap, that 5 second gap, and there you got it, you have to go the whole distance. Otherwise they're just going to gobble you up. Next question is pretty good. This was from 902_Nick. Do you think Jet is relieved now that he doesn't have the pressure of being undefeated? Take it away, my man.
I mean, I think there is. Yes, I do believe that there's some sort of pressure that's been relieved of. Okay, now it's over. This, I don't have to keep this streak up. I don't have to keep this, these moto wins going. But I also think it's a little bit of a critical situation too. And why I say critical, not necessarily critical for the racing, but for mentally on his side, like, now this is going to be a rebound weekend. And right. I'm not saying he's not going to rebound, but his next move on the chessboard is a major rebound this weekend to show.
Do you think he needs to win this weekend? Cause I do.
I, I do think he needs to win. And if he doesn't end up winning, he needs to run it to the checkered flag with whoever's winning. If it's Chase, he needs to be in an all out dogfight to the finish to also let him know, okay, hey, that was a bye. My round mm-hmm. one at Charlotte was a bye weekend for you. So I'm back. So that's okay. What I think he needs to do.
Perfect. Len and Reason, why do you think Dylan Ferrandez hasn't been picked up by a team? Well, we talked about it. We talked about this in the situation to where, he was in and Justin Cooper, and now Justin Cooper has announced he got the 450 ride on that Monster Energy Star Racing Yamaha team. Well-deserved. I think we talked about it. What is it? A few episodes ago, how from a business standpoint and money going out, they probably got Justin for a bit cheaper. So business-wise, it was probably a good move. And Justin's going to do probably pretty good for the amount of money that they probably got him for. He's pretty consistent. He gets great starts. He's low maintenance. And that's my opinion. Why do you think?
I 100% agree. I think Dylan is call it getting a little bit older. I know he's a 450 champion outdoors, a lights champion also, but yeah. He has some. He definitely is a little bit inconsistent. The last year, this last year hasn't been going as well as he'd liked. And also too, I think what you mentioned about being easy to work with. I think Justin in Justin's position, I think he's going to be very easy to work with. And you have an ex-champion that things aren't going his way. And I think that's going to be a harder situation to make happy, right? So I do think that you're correct.
Yeah, I think, Dylan did great this weekend. He rode really well. I mean, he rode well at the end of the Pro Motocross Championship as well. I think that they got the bike working for him a little bit better. I think he's going to end up at HEP Suzuki. That's what my guts tell me. I don't know that. I've heard some rumblings about it. I think that everyone else is full at this point. Honda is, Cowie is, KTM is. I think Husky is, right? Gas, they got Barsha. So I think HEP is the only team out there that has the room for another second 250 guy. So, or 450 guy, pardon me.
Yep.
Well, I think that's where he lands. Like I said, I don't know that. I'm not trying to.
And Ricky, honestly, I think that's a good move. Actually. The reason why, well, number one, it's his probably his only move. Right. So you got to look at it as it being a good move if you want to keep racing. But I also do look, you can see Kenny's putting that motorcycle up front. He was third this weekend. High Point went really, really well for him.
Good starts.
Good starts. He's got a win this season back in Supercross. So the bike is there. Yes, it's an older platform. Yes, it's not as developed as the motorcycles that are out there today, but it's still getting itself up on the podium. So I think Dylan trying to, kind of resurrect his career, find that happy place. I think with That's the right. freedom that team is going to offer him is what he needs. Going against the grain on a satellite team or a factory team, as everybody knows, it doesn't work that well. Swimming upstream doesn't work. So, but at a privateer team like that, or a satellite team that can call most of their shots or all of their shots, I think he would jive well there.
Yeah, I do. So, thank you for Len and Reason. Thank you for that. That was a good question. One person I do want to mention, and I think that it isn't just for this rider. I think it's for a lot of riders. Cooper Webb on the new team. I don't believe the box score is a reflection on just how well he rode and how good the weekend went, all things considered. And so that's kind of like, he's a topic, he's a past two-time Supercross champion. We have to talk about him, but I think he's better than what he showed. He just looked comfortable on the bike. It was a tough track to pass on. We all saw that. And so that I feel like there was a lot of riders that were in that situation that were better than what their finishes show, just with how the track raced. So, I'm not just because he didn't post a good score and good finish, I'm not going to, I don't like, I'm not freaking out like, oh my goodness, he's mm-hmm. no good on the bike. I mean, that's just what I think. What do you think?
I agree. No, Coops, I mean, from I've watched some interviews and stuff from the weekend, and yeah, sure, he wasn't stoked on it. I think he rode well. There was a lot of top guys. The track was one of the things I made a note on was I heard some stuff, rumblings about, track being hard to pass on. So with a bad start, that track was, you definitely had to think, and you had to be able to eat roost either till somebody made a mistake or they left the door open just a little bit. So, it mentally, it's tough to ride behind somebody and just eat roost for 15 minutes and then, be able to make a pass. So you got to start up front. So no, I think we're going to see some better things coming from Coop. There's probably a lot of first race jitters back on that bike, new motorcycle in race performance, race conditions that he hasn't felt in a few years.
And you talked about it just, at the beginning of the show, nothing simulates going out and racing. You can put as many hours and laps on the test track and try to get it as close and pretend to be in a race situation, but just nothing is ever like being behind the gate. Before we go to the 250s, let's thank some sponsors, give them some love. Again, United Motorsports, they are in six locations. They have six locations throughout Kentucky and Ohio. Go check them out. I'm actually doing an adventure ride with my boss, our boss from United Motorsports, Ray Butts. So he's out here enjoying the ride. We're up here in Jeff Stanton doing his adventure ride, a ride that he hosts and puts on adventure rides. So check him out, Jeff Stanton Adventures. It's pretty cool. So, but nevertheless, United Motorsports, check them out. They got everything you need online. Boxo USA, fantastic tool company. Their lifetime guarantee is awesome. So super easy. If something goes wrong with your tool, just send them a picture, boom, they'll send you a new tool. That it's that simple. And then of course, Quad Lock. So quick Quad Lock story. It rained all day and Quad Lock makes this, this adapter for your, for the perch mount that I have, or the mount that I have for my phone. And it's a wireless, waterproof charger. And I forgot that adapter at my house. So I wasn't able to, have a waterproof adapter and phone charger. So I was a little bit bummed about that, but nevertheless, check out Quad Lock. Great company, great people there too. They're pretty younger guys and they are super, super motivated and energetic and great company. So check them out.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic, because we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
All right, dude. 250 class, Joe Shimoda picking up where he left off. Do we want to talk about Joe first, or do we want to talk about Hunter Lawrence? What do we want to talk about?
Let's go right into Joe, man. I think he had a stellar weekend. I think his outside pass on, I think it's right here, Tom Viel, right here. He just major power move, right? Like just around the outside, set him up. Tom thought he was going to be going up the inside, going to protect it, but here he comes on the outside, right? So it was an awesome move. It was really good to see him, back up there, because I think his outdoor season, Supercross also was kind, in my opinion, a little disappointing. I was expecting and hoping that we would see him up, fighting for more wins through outdoors and Supercross. So to see him back up here riding really, really well is really good to see.
Tanner Mullions 10. He asks, Tanner asks, can Joe Shimoda keep up the momentum? I think he can. I personally think he can. He looks good. I think he brings it on the next.
I do. I don't know if we're going to see more one ones like that, but I think Jed is, Joe has found himself, he's got his mojo back. Right. So I'm going to say these next two rounds, we're going to see him fighting up inside the, top three most of the time. That's what I'm predicting or hoping for.
I like how you said, talk about the one, because, Yeah. Zo_MotoX22 asks, who is more likely to go 1-1 in Chicago, Hunter or Hayden? I don't think anyone's going 1-1 in Chicago.
I don't think anybody's going 1-1. Yeah, but I made a mistake. Hayden, that's right. Hayden won Moto 1 and Joe won Moto 2. You know, but nonetheless, a great ride for Joe. But no, I don't think anybody in this format, I think with the tracks being, you know,
not a lot of separation,
being that they are one line. And I don't want to say one line as a bad way, because look, go look at other forms of racing. For example, go and look at the same form of racing, which is MXGP. A lot of those tracks over there are very, very, very one line, and they figure out how to pass. We're just used to tracks like Unadilla and these big places where we can really let it open up and take different lines. Well, now this is very strategy or really mentally and physically hard to make things stick and pass on a track like this. So I look at it as almost a benefit. It makes the start even that much more critical.
Yeah, I agree with you. There's so much on a line, so much at stake. And I think, you know, even what the winner gets, $50,000. That's what the winner gets. That's the purse money per race. And then the 450 guys get 100,000. So you're thinking about that. You know, there's so much incentive on the line, and these guys, like, you could see the importance of it and of how special and what the opportunity at hand for these riders. So I agree with you. I think in the 250 class, those guys, it's like we talked about it a million times on this show. It is like musical chairs in the 250 class, you know. So I don't think that you're going to see a 1-1. I could be wrong. It would be whoever does it. Congratulations. You're a bad man, because it's going to be tough to do it in the playoffs. Let's talk about Hunter, bro. That was him and Justin Cooper, really. Coop didn't do much either. It's like, but that was just, that was weird on Hunter, dude. Like, I don't.
It was off. Both Lawrence's, I think, just off weekend, right? And I can't sit here and, you know, tell you why, but Hunter with two very costly mistakes. You know, we're watching the start right now, coming off the split start, each of them coming back onto the start straight. And, you know, he pushes the front wheel in the first moto, and he pushed that front wheel. I bet you if you went and actually measured where he started, where you watched on film, where he starts to push the front wheel, there it is. Like, it's a long ways. Like, I got to ride the pit bike race of all stuff out there, and we actually rode this part of the track. We rode as they come out of the stadium over the tabletop and the tunnel jumping, and it was very, you thought by visually looking at the track, even in the main line, that it had some grip, that it really had some good grip, but it did not have good grip. It was okay to a certain extent, and as soon as once the tire broke loose, it would just go like it was on like a bar of soap. It was just very, it would just start to slide. So just major mistake, you know, and in both of those, and that was his weekend, both of those crashes.
I like, like for me, like, and then he almost crashed. No, he did crash in the second moto. So I didn't even see where he messed up and made that mistake the first moto in the start. Well, this is the This is the second start right here. Here is moto two. All right. Same thing, push, and then he drops it. It's almost a carbon copy of what happened in the first moto. And I don't know, maybe it's a Pro Motocross Championship hangover. There's been talk about that when you're grinding it out all season long, and then you get that championship, and just, maybe mentally he wasn't all there, because the track was, you know, so close, there wasn't a lot of things that you could do different. Maybe he was overriding, but certainly it was out of character from what we saw basically all, you know, in the Supercross and Motocross from both the brothers. This is unbelievable.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a turn of events for sure, coming off of the outdoor season that they both had. But like we did talk about, you know, like Jed, I think they're both of them, and you know, we're talking Hunter right now, but the power move is to come back here at Chicago and brush all that off, right? We just went over what race do we want to, you know, give up. You said your strategy has changed. It's going to be that first one. Well, there's their bye at round one.
Yeah, you're their bye for sure.
Yeah, exactly, right? So I think Hunter, for his power move, is to show back up. And look, we're all human, right? Like at 22-0, 24-0, whatever it is, we're going to lose one sooner or later. It's just bound to happen. So I'm looking towards Chicago to see both of them, what the rebound is, because that's going to be the power move.
Yeah, for sure. Vial did good too. Great one. I mean, he was good all weekend long. So
Ryder D got third in the second moto.
He rode strong. Great to see that. I like seeing guys like him that, you know, come from Europe, have to go through Supercross. I mean, dude, you know how gnarly Supercross is. Just for people like you and I who were born and raised in the States and kind of had some Supercross influence. And then you got a guy like Tom Vial, just basically he's thrown into the hornet's nest. So I'm happy to see him doing well, because mentally I feel like someone like him, who is used to having a lot of success and comes over here and just, you know, it's a lot for Supercross. And I feel like it'd be tough on you mentally if you can't come out and win and do what you want to do. And then just to make it out safe. I'm happy to see Tom doing well, because he is a champion. And, you know, I like seeing guys make it, man. So good for him.
Yeah, no, it's good. Riding really well.
Yeah. One thing that was really cool. Another thing, we've talked about this, breakout rides, right? Hayden had his early on. He was able to get over that hump in his professional career this past season. I loved what I saw from Ryder D, the second moto. You could see the emotion on his face after that race. And I just have to think that everything that has gone on with him the last, let's just say, 2 or 3 years starts to come back. You know, there he is right here. You can see.
Yep. He had said, you know, he's used to winning, right? And I think that is something that he's been in a very unfamiliar spot. So it is, you know, and he's had an exceptional amateur career.
Oh, like, dude, literally since he was like 3 years old, bro.
Exactly. So to be in a slump like that, you know, like is definitely hard, but the kid is, you know, working hard. He's really trying to turn it around, you know? So it was really good, because that it's literally, you could have everything, all the pieces could be there, and you're missing just that, the weekend piece. And sometimes the weekend piece is the hardest piece to grab and put into the puzzle. And now that I feel like he's done that, I'm hoping, and I think we'll see, you know, his riding even get better, because I think he's also confidence driven. A lot of these younger age kids that we see coming up now, like Joe, right, for example, like, you know, totally off Supercross, off outdoors till the very end. Now we see him catching that wave, you know, so very confidence based driven. You know, and I see like him with that third, I feel like that should help him turn his pro career.
Get up on step. And now he knows, like, running up front for those 20 minutes, like, you know, I would think that you're like, crap, dude, he's learning, you know, and he's like, okay, now I can run this speed. I know where I need to be. I know how I've basically gotten over the hump. So now he can go work on that and have that intensity during the week of practicing. And then he's able to bring that same speed here to Chicago. So I love that. Another thing, kind of like, his story and how well he did this weekend is like, I'm happy for him. I want to see these young kids, you know, make it over that hump, you know, and have the success that we all thought that they could and know that they can do since they were a young kid. So a lot to look forward to come Chicago time, right? Dude, let's give away some product. A little quad lock question of the week. I love this. This is a fantastic question. I think it's going to be subjective, like the answer can be subjective. I think a lot of people are going to be like, I don't know if I agree with you on this, but nevertheless, this is why we picked it. So the question, R. Buchanan 972, appreciate you being a supporter of RV and I and Title 24 and tuning in, and we appreciate the question. So here it is. Jet is significantly mentally stronger than the rest of the field. I'm not sure Tomac is even on this level. Can this skill be learned, or is it just natural, especially at such a young age? You want it? You want to go?
Yeah, I'll take a crack at it.
Go for it, brother.
I think Jet is very mentally strong, and I think coming his road to getting here has made him that strong. But I also think I'm not going to sit here and say he's stronger than Eli or Eli stronger than him. I think what Jet right now has tons of confidence. I'm going to agree with you there. But I think he's also he knows that this helps his confidence too. He knows that his technique and where his riding's at right now is substantially better than most of those guys. Now, we haven't seen him put into a situation where he is racing somebody like Eli, right? Like that's going to be coming up, right? We're going to see that this next season. Mm-hmm. And racing somebody, and I hope for everybody's sake that Eli comes back to his form or better than he was, to see Jet and him, and mm-hmm. along with everybody else down that roster list, come right out swinging, you know, in next year's Supercross season, because I think that's going to be amazing to see those two, for example, because he's pretty much the only one that Jet hasn't raced yet. So he's right. The only one with the question mark on him.
Yeah.
I think him and Eli are going to have some, they're going to have some all out, dude. You know, drag out fights.
Yeah. And you know what, dude, if Chase keeps going, if Chase backs up the performance in Chicago, like he rode in Charlotte, which was awesome. I think Jet's going to have his hands full, but, to your question, to the quad lock question of the week, I'm with you too. I'm not going to sit up here and say that he's any better mentally than Eli. You brought up a great point, and I didn't even think about this. Is like Jet knows that his skill level, what he can do on a bike, so that gives him the confidence. I want to break it down though, as far as can you teach something like that? I think mm-hmm. that you can teach mental toughness. I do, and I can only speak for myself on this, but I don't think that I ever worked on my mental game as far as like away from the motorcycle. And I never went to see anyone or talk to anyone, you know, like no professionals to help me, like no therapists or stuff like that. I don't know if I was lucky. I feel like you were the same way too, RV. Like we just go out there, we race as hard as we can. We want to win. And we just try to find a way to do it. And I just think it's something that we were born with. At least that's what it was for me. You know, like I never had to talk myself into telling myself that I was being good or I'm good. I think I was lucky. I just think I had mental strength out of the gate, you know, from ever since I was a little kid, and no one taught me that. Now I did do things during the week to like if my practice routines and stuff like that. It would help me feel more comfortable going into the weekend, knowing that I had a great week of training and practicing. So my chance of doing my best and winning this weekend are going to be really high because I had a great week of prep, you know, but I don't, so that helped me mentally. But aside from that, I still wasn't, like, I wasn't scared that I wasn't, or I didn't want to get beat. I shouldn't say I wasn't scared, but I still feel like I was mentally strong.
Yep. Yeah. 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 No, I agree. And I think there's mentally strong. And I also think there's athletes that, like, and I can only speak for myself, for example, like, yeah, you have 100 different things running through your head. Like if you walk down to the stadium floor, you're sitting there in staging before we load the gate. And that's when things are like, things are matrix, right? There's just
right.
Things are getting shot at you, thrown at you, like, and you're dodging all these things because you're trying to keep your head you're trying to keep yourself out of your own head, right? And that's the time I think that there you almost have to, for me, I would get into a position where I would just stop thinking. Like, eventually I had to just stop, like, okay, I know what I had to do. I was down on the floor, all this stuff's coming at me, and then, okay, then I'm just more sitting down there, not visualizing what I was going to do, but also just, okay, I'm gonna hit my marks. I'm prepared. I'm trained for this. This is what I'm gonna do. And eventually I would just shut it off and I would go to the line and 30 second board would go up and your heart rate's just clicking off at like 160 before the gate even drops. But at that point, that's where you have to almost just like black out. And you just have to say, it comes down to strictly feel and just your routine. This gate has dropped, you know, a million times in front of you. You got to leave the line. And those are the only things that should be running through your head. So for me, that's what I would do. So I think mentally strong is also somebody that can stay out of their head and just stop thinking.
Yep. 100%. And also, you know, be super and be intuitive on your thinking and know that you're making the right choice and not second guessing your decisions, because that'll drive you crazy. And, you know,
overthinking something is some of people's biggest problems, is thinking of a scenario over and over and over. That's right. And half the time it changes halfway through and then you're like lost at the end of it. Like just overthinking a subject is a problem. So you got to be able to shut it off.
Big Rick always used to tell me, he said, if you think long, you think wrong, son.
Nice.
Yeah. It's just a pro tip from my dad, Big Rick, you know, it's like never said anything, but when he said something, you're like, okay. So that was a tip, free tip for everyone tuned in to Title 24. From Big Rick. Thanks, R. Buchanan, 972. Just DM us on Title 24's Instagram page, and we will set you up with Quad Lock. Get you all dialed in, and when you get it, let us know how you like it. I'm sure you will not be disappointed. That's for sure.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic, because we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
Let's do a little promo. Just tell you guys what's on NBC Sports this weekend. It's going to be a good one. There you can see it, SMX Insider, Always with Weege and JT. That's 2 p.m. Eastern on YouTube. And then NASCAR Xfinity Series is at Bristol, baby, 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. That's on USA. Race Day Live this week starts at 2:30. Practice and qualifying, Peacock. RV will be on that. And then 7 o'clock is the Cup race, and that'll be Saturday as well. That's on USA. And Super Motocross World Championship, we will be there. That is on Peacock, starts at 7:30. And Sunday is the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. Battle on the Bricks. That's at 1 p.m. Eastern Sunday on NBC. So a lot to look forward to. Like I said, RV will be leading us up starting at 2:30 for practice and qualifying, which will be exciting.
That'll be good. I don't have to be in my seat at 6:30 this time.
That's right. You had an early morning, didn't you, brother?
I did. Yeah. Rehearsal 6:30 in the morning, bro.
You got to put in your time, bro. You got to put in your
time. I know. Just thinking of that, I was leaving dinner. I was like, dude, Ricky's been, he, I think, announced 2 or 3 years before I retired, and I've been retired for 8 years. So like, you've been up there for a while, bro.
I've been up there for a minute. Time flies, dude. Hey, so one thing I wanted to talk to you about, and you and I talked about this at dinner on Saturday, and I'm still blown away at the conversation that we had, and then like what you used to run at Daytona, because I was just curious. but leading to Chicago and things that I'm looking forward to, and I'll be watching at Chicago, is, you know, how do the Lawrences react? Can Chase keep up that dominant performance? You know, is Cooper Webb going to do a little bit better? I'll be watching all that stuff. But the biggest thing that I'm interested to see what happens. And I this is my opinion, and maybe because this is the way I liked my motorcycles, I always run my stuff super soft. Like if it wasn't bottoming out, it was too stiff. And I personally feel like that some of the guys got caught off guard with how rough and choppy the track got. I understand they need to have their suspension stiff for the supercross rhythm lanes and the jump faces because they're steeper and all that. But I think they need to strongly consider going much softer and having more of a outdoor type setting rather than full-blown supercross setting like what I heard a lot of the guys had this weekend. What's your take?
Which I believe, yes. So I think a lot of guys had their supercross stuff because everybody was a little unsure. Yes, we got to see the track map. We know kind of where it's built, the distances of things like that. But you don't know until you show up. You don't know what the transition is like. But no, so back to your point, Daytona Supercross, I would run supercross stuff within, you know, a couple clicks this way, a couple clicks that way, whatever it was, softer, whatever I thought we needed or, you know, we thought we needed, we would adjust, you know, there. But as for my setup for Daytona was very supercross based. And, you know, you were telling
me that's
how I'd
so
run.
Gnarly, bro.
I know, but I was looking. So here's how I look at it. Like I was never very precise in certain areas. So like if I got in trouble, I knew I wanted my stuff to be somewhat stiff, kind of like that's, you know, Stu's forks were so stiff when he was racing. And I feel like, yes, was that track choppy? Yes, it did. Did it get rough? Yes, I think it did get pretty, you know, fairly choppy and rough. But I think they're going to go back to the drawing board, and I don't think they're going to reinvent the wheel. I think they're going to open some things up a little bit, maybe stiffen the bottom of the stroke up a little bit, because I feel like the track was pretty fast. There were some G outs and things like that. But Ricky, I think I'd be running, I would be running a very more leaning on the supercross side than outdoors.
Dude. So RV and I were talking and I'm like, hey, did you ever run, like, what was your setup at? I asked him, what was your setup at Daytona? And he told me, and then I'm like, so what I always ran at Daytona was I ran my outdoor shock and I ran my supercross fork setting, which was softer than most people's settings. And I pulled the clickers out, you know, and made my supercross forks a little softer because I thought that, you know, it was more outdoors. Yeah, there were some steep jumps, but I would slow down my speed on the steep jumps in anticipation of my suspension bottoming out, because I wanted my bike to work really well and be super soft and compliant when the track got really gnarly and rutted out. And it was a lot softer back in the day too. Daytona was, like, most of my years I raced there were during the daytime. It was much more, the speeds were slower. It was more outdoorsy, ruts in the corners. And it had more outdoor flair and in a few steep jumps. So where the jumps were steep, that's what I was saying. I would just slow down
and check up a little bit.
Yeah. And I just, like, I didn't care if my stuff bottomed out too. Like, you're not, like, my rule, if it's not touching the fender, it's too stiff. And that was me. My suspension guys hated it. Like, you need to, if you stiffen it up, you can go faster. I'm like, dude, if you stiffen this thing up anymore, the throttle is going to go the opposite way. But that's what I hear though. Like, then you told me you raced with pretty much supercross setup at Daytona. And I don't know, man. I don't know. I just wish it'd be cool to see if they consider. So that's my big thing going into Chicago. It's going to be interesting to see if some of these teams make a change and what they're going to do. And hopefully we can get some intel and they will share with us what they've done, hopefully. So we'll see.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see if they do. I presume that we're going to see probably – this is just me going out on a limb – that we're going to see – I think we're going to see Hunter. We're going to see Jet. We're going to see maybe Tom adjusting their stuff probably more than some of the other riders. I just think that I think they're going to be looking for something else. I think they've rode on a tighter stuff like that in the past in Europe and things like that. Like I mentioned, Ribéry one line, smaller outdoor tracks. So they might have a happy medium setting. Or maybe they ran that this weekend thinking it was just the wrong setting. We don't know that's what we'll have to find out, is to see what's different and see if the chassis and motorcycles look like they're handling different than they were at Charlotte.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, cool, brother. I'll see you on Friday.
That's right. Yeah. I get in Thursday. I'm going to go get me some new golf clubs. down in just outside Chicago. Danny Hartwig is hooking me up. We're going to the PGA Tour driving range or something. So we're going to go hang out and probably get some beers and hit some golf balls.
There you go. Awesome. Awesome. We're looking forward to it. Hey, everyone watching, thank you so much for all of your support. RB and I are very thankful for you guys. Remember, you can always watch us on Peacock. We're on demand on Peacock and, of course, Motorsports on NBC's YouTube page. You can watch us there. And if you can't watch us, you can listen to us if you're headed to work, driving to work, from work, or you just hanging out at home, getting a workout in, whatever. You can listen to us on Amazon Music. That has been really, really cool. So you can check us out there as well if you just want to listen to our great sponsors, United Motorsports, Box Oak, Quad Lock. Thank you very much. And thanks for tuning in today.